This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K., Don LaGreca, and Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, that is indeed your responsibility. Hope everybody had a great and wonderful and safe weekend. And we thank you for joining us on this Monday for another, 20 hours of exquisite entertainment. Am I right?
Absolutely. You're right. Although there's not a lot exquisite to talk about when it comes to football.
No, not at all. So we'll start there as a jumping out point because we will cover baseball quite a bit. We've got the Astros and the Athletics starting their best of five series. That's at 4 o'clock. And then the Yankees and the Rays starting their best of five series. And that's at 8 o'clock. And by the way, you can hear that game right here on 98.7 ESPN. So we'll be off the air at 7. And then a special hour pregame with Chris Carlin leading right to first pitch from Petco Park in San Diego. That is big. That's big. So the Yankees are out west. The Giants were out west. And boy, they didn't do well. They improved upon what they did in game three, which was a real letdown because you saw some positives in the first two games. First half in game one, second half in game two. Then you figured game three, they put together an entire game. It didn't work out that way.
No.
Game three was awful. But game four against the Rams in L.A., I thought was heartening. I thought their defense looked good. They stopped an explosive Rams offense, and they had a chance to win. They had a chance to win right to the end. But the offense just can't do it. All they could do is get field goals. Once again, I think they've gone 8 quarters without a touchdown. And I don't know what the fix is. I just don't know what the fix is. Daniel Jones kept getting hit. I think he was sacked 5 times. That's unacceptable. Probably hit a lot more. If he wasn't so mobile and able to run, he'd probably be hit even more. So they're not protecting the quarterback. And what I thought were the decent skill position players, well, they're not so decent. Evan Ingram's been a disappointment. Shepard's out. Slayton's good, but, you know, I don't think he's good enough. And Golden Tate is, Golden Tate. He had a great fight with a great reason for a fight at the toward the end of the game. I love that. Defending your sister's honor, I love that. But overall, Don and Peter, that's not a good look for the Giant offense because the Giant offense is, in a word, offensive.
Well, they can't do anything, and you wonder, when Jason Garrett's putting a play in, is it a play to try to win the game, to move the ball downfield, or is it a play that is going to best protect his quarterback? Because, listen, you're going up against a really, really good defense, and Donald is one of the best players there is on the defensive side of the ball in the game. But there were just times, Michael, he just couldn't do anything. Now, he did some things with his legs, he showed some athleticism, but you're still talking about a team that is averaging 9 points a game. So there's really nothing offensively. But you're right. It was such an overrated statement to make. And I backed you that this is not a bad offensive team. They've got weapons. Well, they might have weapons in name, but you know, with Barkley hurt, I think Golden Tate is what he is. He's a nice, you know, second or third option on a really good football team. Ingram has been a huge disappointment. Shepard's hurt. So they really don't have a lot for Jones to go to. The offensive line doesn't protect him. And it was nice to move the ball downfield, but he looked at his receiver too long. Great individual effort by the D-back to get the pick. But, you know, you robbed yourself of a chance of a touchdown, possibly a two-point play, and force overtime. So on the offensive side of the ball, when you're averaging 9 points a game, Michael, it's hard to win in this league. You just can't do it. And I don't know where it's going to improve unless they get some protection or unless somebody emerges as a real weapon on this team. And I don't see where that's coming from. We're going to be entering week 5. Yeah, the next week's going to be really interesting because you should be able to score against Dallas. Everybody else is.
Boy, a lot.
But if you can't score against Dallas, then you just figured, all right, you just can't score. And if you can't score in this league, you can't win.
They never really had a feeling when you're watching them, you just don't have any confidence in their ability to move the football. And I don't know if that's obviously that Saquon's a big part of that and Sterling Shepard's a big part of that. But yesterday they just did not feel threatening offensively at all.
No, I just don't think it's a team that doesn't scare anybody. They just don't. I mean, again, you got to give them credit. Their defense was impressive. But goodness gracious, if you can't score, you're not going to win in this league. And, you know, the combined record of now the Jets and the Giants, all without offensive weapons and without an offensive line, is 0-8. 0-8. Remember when there used to be professional football in this town? You have to have a pretty good memory, though, because this is just dreadful. Absolutely dreadful.
But you know, with the Giants, I think you've got a coach. I mean, I think you've seen enough. They certainly play for him. And it's too early, four games in, to judge whether they got it wrong with the coach. We're going to have to wait and see on that. You know the general manager's gone, right? So all the complaints about the lack of talent, he's either going to retire or get fired. So at least you feel, as a Giant fan, you might be moving in the right direction, because a lot of the problems seem to be either correctable or the jury's still out. All right, well, let's find out what Judge is. Jason Garrett has at least proven he's a good offensive guy. Graham's got a defense that's out there and playing. And they're going to replace the general manager. So you kind of go through this year just figuring, all right, just show me something for the quarterback. But like with the Jets, you don't know if anybody's going anywhere. You don't know if Gase is going to get fired. You don't know if, you know, is Joe Douglas going to be gone after basically one draft and one free agent class? So,
well,
and that was a team that was expecting to be better. So I don't know where you're going with the Jets, but the Giants, I guess you can, if you shut out what's happened the last couple of years going into this year, I guess you can afford to be a little patient.
With the Giants, you can.
With the Giants.
I could see progress being made with the Giants. I don't see any progress being made with the Jets. But the one thing that jumps out at me about both of the teams is that the people that put the teams together are supposed to be gurus when it comes to putting together an offensive line. And what Joe Douglas did was he went on the cheap and thought that he could plug in, like Ozzie Newsome used to do with the Ravens, some really good parts at low prices. No, it didn't work out. Van Roten's not good. Fant's not good. I mean, they just don't have a good offensive line. And Mekhi Becton is hurt. Dave Gettleman with the big hog mollies, that's a bad offensive line.
And when a team that's
built, right, around young quarterbacks, that should be the most important thing. Joe Douglas said to Sam Darnold's parents, I'm going to protect your child. Well, he hasn't. Sam Darnold's not protected. We're going to have Sam on later. We don't even know if he's going to play this Sunday. We have no idea whether he's going to play this Sunday. So It's just a mess. It's an absolute mess, and they should be embarrassed. Both teams, both organizations should be embarrassed. And I know a lot of people are going to lean on with the Giants. Well, their offense was built around Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley didn't do anything at game one. Even when Saquon Barkley was healthy, this offense did nothing. Without an offensive line, even a great player like Saquon Barkley would be ineffective. So I'm not blaming the loss of Barkley why the Giants can't score. They didn't score in the first game.
Fair.
Awful. Just awful. Very, very not fun to watch football.
No touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. So, yeah, the defense played its heart out. And I give them credit, because I think they've played, with the exception of the game against San Francisco, have played much better than we anticipated. I went into this year thinking the offense is going to be give them their best chance to win. And it's their defense that's going to hold them back. But so far, three of the four games, Michael, the defense has done what they've had to do to win the game. I'm sorry, in this league, the way things are, if you hold the opposition to 17 points, you give yourself an excellent chance to win, even with an average offense. You should be able to score 24 points in this league in your sleep, considering every rule that exists in the NFL is to benefit the offense. So if you hold your opposition to 17 points, like they did against Chicago, like they did yesterday against the Rams, you should win those games. This team should be 2-2. If they had even a pulse on offense, they could be 2-2. And you know what 2-2 would be, Michael? Take a guess what 2-2 would be right now.
First place, baby!
First place by yourself.
Oh, yeah.
No ties. You'd be in first place all alone at 2-2.
Now, we've fought this for a while, and I'm going to run this by Peter.
Go ahead.
We have fought over and over when anyone says, well, the Bills are a New York team. Let's embrace the Bills as the city of New York team. Because the Bills are fun, they're good, they win everywhere, they cover, everything you want in a football team. How come the Bills are able to do this and the Giants and the Jets can't? Why? Because they have a good GM and a really good coach.
You know what we should do, though? I am curious today throughout the day. I'd like to hear from Bills fans. I wonder if we do have a bigger Bills base than we think.
No.
And maybe that can give us an excuse.
Don said no.
Because I'll take anything.
No. There's way more Cowboy fans.
Just shut it down.
In the tri-state area, there are way more Cowboy fans, way more Steeler fans.
All right.
Than there are Bills fans.
I'm fine.
That's a nice little kind of funny thing that, hey, they're the only team in New York that's doing anything, blah, 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 because it's New York State. You know what the number of NFL cities I can get to by car quicker than Buffalo? I can get to Philadelphia quicker. I can get to D.C. quicker. Yeah. I can get to New England quicker.
Yeah, sure.
So stop, because it happens to be in the same state.
We got to embrace it, Don. We have nothing else.
We need something.
We're not embracing the Eagles. We're not embracing the Steelers. We're not embracing the Washington football team. We got to embrace the Bills. That's our team.
Well, go ahead. Have fun with it.
We can see Don's on board, right, Peter?
Don's despondent.
I was throwing a lot of facts at you to stop you from doing this.
A lot of facts.
But if we're going to be opening, if you think that it's going to work, that we're going to open every Monday show with how the Bills did, good luck with that.
Sean McDermott, baby.
I mean, I'll take it. Although, man, if you're a Cowboys fan today, let's talk about how you guys are embarrassed about the Giants offense. Let's talk about the embarrassment of the Cowboys defense yesterday. I mean, we know that Cleveland's talented. But yesterday was the first time in 2 years that they appeared to be what they were yesterday.
And no Jet fan's going to want to hear this, because obviously the guy they hired wasn't very good in Gase, but maybe this is why Mike McCarthy sat for a while before he got a gig.
I also have to tell you, you bring up the Browns, right? So the Browns are 3-1 now.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason the Browns have been bad for a long time, they keep hiring bad people. I'm sorry, Freddie. I know you're part of the show, but that was not a football. It's not an NFL head coach. But you hire an offensive mind like Kevin Stefanski, and all of a sudden, Odell Beckham has 3 touchdowns yesterday. An imaginative touchdown with Landry throwing the ball to Odell. They do things. They do things differently now. You know why? Because they're well coached. That's what it comes down to. This is the biggest coach league in sports. The one where you could have the biggest impact. I truly believe it. A coach sets the tone for everything, even with bad talent. Now, the Browns don't have bad talent, but I want to throw this at Don. We all know why Gettleman got rid of Odell. Wanted the right kind of temperament with his team, but would you hold your nose to have Odell Beckham Jr. being the guy receiving passes from Daniel Jones, having a real offensive threat rather than not? Would you hold your nose with everything that's about Odell, and most of it's the on-field histrionics, would you hold your nose and rather have him?
I mean, obviously they'd be better, Michael, but I don't know. I know everybody's in love with the situation because they had a big win against Dallas, but you know, we weren't having this conversation last year.
But he's still, whatever the case may be.
There's a lot going
on. He's a
there.
Talented player.
Listen, you want talented players.
More talented than anybody the Giants have and the Jets.
He's not a bad guy, so it's, you know, he's a weird guy for sure. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. With the offensive line, again, Pro Football Focus had them ranked 31 on the offensive line. So yeah, it'd be better, because we saw in 2016 how Odell single-handedly got that team 11 wins and got them to the playoffs, right?
And because, then single-handedly got them on a boat.
I mean, those are the things that, again, I guess the reason I wouldn't take a Michael is this is a full-blown rebuild, and when you finally do turn the corner, what's going to happen between now and when that finally happens with Odell? Like, Odell is a nice piece if this team was a weapon away from getting over the top. But we're still looking at a major reconstruction of this offense and this team over the next few years. Would that be someone that would be helpful or be a hindrance to that growth?
Huh? I don't know. I'm never a fan of the extraneous stuff that comes along with Odell. But I am a fan of his talent. Now, there was a scrum at the end of the Giant-Rams game. And for those that don't know what's going on, I got to explain it to you because it's such an incredible story.
It really is.
So Jalen Ramsey had two kids with Golden Tate's sister. Then last year, she was pregnant with a third child.
No, the second, I think. No?
No, no, third. She had two kids previously. And then the third child she was pregnant with. And while she was pregnant with the third child, or if Peter's right, the second child.
I think the second. Okay.
Jalen then started dating an adult performer from Vegas. Is that the accurate way to put it?
That is absolutely the right. A stripper, I believe, would be the...
I don't like to use such a pejorative term. It's a job, you know. And then posted stuff on Instagram. And, you know, Golden Tate said, well, next time I face him, I'm going to circle, you know, that date. Well, yesterday was the first time. And I guess Jalen Ramsey tackled him once and threw him on his head. But then after the game, they squared off and started the fight. So I think that was the best thing the Giant offense did all day. Golden Tate, comma Warrior. And if somebody does that to your sister, it's kind of sketchy.
Oh, no, you're fighting. That's the only option.
You have to, Peter.
Now, I wish that
you don't have a sister. I do.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine the feeling, though. You're fighting.
You're fighting.
And if you look at the video, and there's not great video of like when it started, but you can see, Michael, did it look to you? It looked to me like a lot of the players around are sort of getting into it because they're on both teams trying to back up and let them fight.
Right. Yeah.
That's what it appeared.
Let them go.
Let these guys fight. That's what
they're doing. Take your helmets off. Let's go.
And the Giants have his back because Joe Judge said today they're not going to discipline him at all. No punishment whatsoever. So they have his back. And I guess Jalen Ramsey was waiting outside the Giants room.
See, now the NFL should suspend him for that. Because then you're taking it off the field and now you're making it an assault. But Tate should have come out and fought him in the alleyway then.
Yeah.
Pat him down for weapons. Let him go. Fight for your sister's honor. So you sure she's a stripper?
The girl that he left her for? Yes.
Yes.
I read, according to the trusty New York Post, a Vegas stripper. I will tell you, that one tackle Ramsey had on Golden Tate was borderline assault, and it was perfect.
Right.
I mean, he lifted him off the ground and just drove him into the turf.
Golden Tate. Warrior. Golden Tate, comma Warrior. Beautiful. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Now, please know this. We are going to give you total coverage on Yankees and the Rays. Like, you're going to be sick of it. I know Peter will.
Absolutely.
I am already.
But I haven't even started. I just want to give you one stat that I dug up over the weekend that I just love. So the Tampa Bay Rays were 8-2 against the Yankees this year. Now, I don't think that you dismiss regular season performance because I really believe that gives the team that did well ultra confidence coming in. But I don't think the Yankees come in with a lack of confidence. I'm going to give you names. DJ LeMahieu, Luke Voit, Gio Urshela, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Hicks, and Gleyber Torres. Those men that I just named, seven men, right? Both of you, tell me, over the last 2 years, how many times have all seven of those guys been in the lineup at the same time?
Against the Rays?
No,
or
anybody.
Period.
Anybody.
Not many.
Three.
Okay. I was going to
go. What were you going to say?
I was going to say 15.
Three. So, how the Yankees erased 2-8 from their consciousness is they didn't play this team. Because for the most part, now the injuries are out the window. Yeah, I know you miss Paxton. You've had a lot of time to adapt to no Severino. But this is the team you put together. This is the team. I think seven of the games that the Yankees played, the 10 games against the Rays, there was no Judge. Eight of them, there was no Stanton. It's going to be interesting to see what the Yankee lineup is today as well. I'm going to give you some decisions that Boone has to make. I believe that Gary Sanchez against Blake Snell has six hits, five of them home runs, 6 for 16, something like that. Do you play Brett Gardner, who struggled against lefties, Or do you keep Higashioka behind the plate because it's Cole on the mound? And finally, if you do play Sanchez, you got to play Higashioka because Cole's pitched so much better with him behind the plate. Do you actually then bench Giancarlo Stanton? Not an easy lineup to make out, so something to consider, and we'll get a lot deeper into what's going on with the Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, boy, I tell you what, Peter, you made the call out, and a lot of people have chimed in about the Buffalo Bills. So before we go to break, I want to go to Colin in Buffalo because he has a very special take. Colin, go for it, babe.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just wanted to say I love the show.
Thanks.
I just wanted to say you guys should stop talking about the Bills. I want them to keep flying under the radar. It's going to be tough now being 4-0, but we have an elite coaching staff, and we finally got a GM. It's so exciting. It's tough for the Jets, though. They got the Patriots, the Bills, and the Dolphins now. And the Dolphins is going to surprise you, maybe. They have the Texans first and second round draft pick next year.
Yeah, thanks to the Tunsil deal. So Colin wants no part of us talking about the Bills. None.
All right.
And
we're,
I think it's
jinx,
fair.
We're a mush.
I think Don is also in lockstep with that.
Well, the
Am
guy
I right,
pulled
Donald?
From Buffalo.
Right. He doesn't want us to talk about it.
But why are we talking about them? They're not from the area.
Well, I mean, yes does, you know, yes is in Buffalo.
All right. I thought this was a radio show.
And there are a lot of people who live here from Buffalo. I mean, I question where they are in terms of out-of-town teams. You're right. The Cowboys and Steelers higher probably.
Right.
But they're up there. And they are part of the state. You can't deny that. That is real. It exists to some degree. It's a thing.
It's a beautiful city.
I like Buffalo.
Buffalo a lot. I like Buffalonians.
So when L.A. didn't have a football team.
Right.
Did they adopt the Chargers? Because they didn't adopt the Chargers when they moved to L.A.
They should have.
Or should they have adopted the San Francisco 49ers or Oakland Raiders?
And what we have is worse than not having a football team. We have two football teams that add up to less than any football teams.
Wow.
I don't think
very
we should quit what
equation.
We do. This is what we do. We analyze as we're given it. I this never been an option before.
This is a new low, Don.
We never picked another basketball team. We could have done that for years.
That's a great point.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Peter went 0-3. Well,
nope.
He's got the Packers tonight.
I have one rough one tonight, though.
So why don't we play that, RJ, the Peter 0-3 in week 4? So that's my three-point play. I'm going to take the Chargers over the Bucs.
That is a horrifying pick.
Those are my three picks.
Three really bad picks. Now, all right, I think your picks are absolutely awful. Now.
Said the man who has awful picks. You know awful picks. You actually made a three-point pick because of your friend Ballard. That's all there is. It's sad, and they're terrible picks, and I guarantee you'll go 0-3. Well, he's two-thirds of the way there. So he said, I think Don also said my picks were awful. I never ever say that.
I never, don't put words in my mouth. I never, ever, I compliment picks. I never say they're awful, especially yours, because I didn't think they were.
Because I went 3-0 and Don went 1-2, I have now moved into first place, and I think Tina Turner has something to say. That's right, Tina. It took 4 weeks, but I am in my rightful position of first place like I was last year. All the you and cry about Don being so great. Now, he's in my rearview mirror now, and he's never going to get ahead of me.
Now, Don, real quick, because there's a lot of things are being said.
Little Queen, please, while Peter talks. Can we have that, RJ, please?
We are the champions.
We are the defending champions.
Wow.
my friends. So,
Don, you know, listen. What's happening right now for me is a problem. I'm not seeing the field clearly at all. I'm seeing ghosts, honestly. I cannot shake it, and it's a tough, tough start. But I ate crickets this year, Don. What was the punish? Last year was the Whopper.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then the year before that was the hair dye?
Mm-hmm. You got to make him eat the Whopper.
So,
but see, but you don't understand, Peter. I was a rebuilding team then. Now I'm at the height of my powers. I figured this all out.
Who gave you the Chargers? Who gave you the Chargers pick? Let's talk about it.
Okay, let's talk about the Charger pick. It was also available to you. R.J. Bell said it on the air. But the reason R.J. Bell picked it was completely wrong. He said that Tom Brady is not a good quarterback anymore. Oh, I don't know. I watched that game. Tom Brady had five TDs. I think he's a pretty good quarterback. So don't give me that. You had every opportunity to pick that game, too. You choose to go off the reservation, and you've been absolutely awful. And not only that, the only reason I'm hanging on the rim, as Don likes to say, is because you're the one who said, awful picks, you're going to go 0-3. That's what you said.
RJ, don't you have the drop of when I even actually called one of his picks awful before I even knew what the pick was? That's how. Now listen, I stand. I've only gotten two games right so far. Okay,
so this is a big game for you tonight.
Tonight is gigantic.
The Bills are going to Oakland, not Oakland. They're going to Vegas to play the Raiders.
Terrible pick.
Raiders are 3.5 points. You don't even know what I picked. See, all I want, I need some respect from you, and if not, I'm going to disrespect you, Tina. Am I right? That's right. Better than all the rest.
A lot rides.
Better than anyone.
Tonight's a very big. If I go down, if I'm now through 4 weeks with two correct games, I know nothing. It's going to be very. Tonight's my 3-pointer.
Is there a chance that you would drop out of the competition?
There's a chance.
And you'll just say, I'll do whatever I have to do? Because we haven't even made our pick. We haven't even made our bet yet.
I know. I'm starting to so not enjoy Sundays.
No, I've always told Don that I feel that way. Every Sunday I have a big hole in the pit of my stomach. It's awful.
So we'll see. Right now I'm just lost. But remember, I started off last year really poorly and came up basically a game short of beating you. So let's all calm down. Let's all settle in and let's see what happens. Let's get till Thanksgiving and see where we are.
You're feeling good about things, aren't you?
No, feeling terrible, but I have faith in myself.
You sure?
No. I'm not.
Oh, I enjoy this so much. Am I right, Tina? Yeah. 3-0.
Better than all else.
Don, very quiet. You're usually ripping me for hanging on the rim. You usually tear into me when I act like this.
No, do what you got to do.
I will. This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Perry in Middlebrook. Perry.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Perry.
Hey, I got a comment on your earlier statements about Odell. I loved the guy when he first came to New York, but I just wait to see the first game where they double team him and bang him around and Baker doesn't throw it to him 10 times. And then he's in the locker room, just, you know, they hate me. They don't know how to use me. I mean, that's
he's right.
The cancer that he introduced into New York. My question though is on Daniel Jones. I wonder if there's something wrong, and I don't mean like injury, but wrong with his hand. Because if you notice, he never pump fakes. When he goes to hand the ball off, it always looks like it's loose in his hand. He throws, when he's on the run, he throws like the ball looks like it half slides out of his hand. I wonder if his hands too small for this game. Are they just not strong enough? Because every time he drops back, I feel like my heart's in my throat.
It's, definitely not, it's not the size of his hands. It's not the size of his hands, that's for sure. I remember when we went to their practice facility, I literally put my hand up to his giant hands.
I honestly think it's a lack of confidence we have in him for the number of times we've seen him fumble. So our heart's in our throat. No one that has analyzed or broken down his game feels like the fumbles are a problem. And no one has ever brought up his inability to pump fake because he can't hold on to the football. Right?
They measure your hand at the combine. There's no way the Giants.
I measured it. Giant.
No,
When did you measure it?
When we saw him. I went hand to hand with him. I have a pretty average size hand, and he is a full like digit bigger. He is a big. And then I ran into a restaurant and shook his hand. He is a big man.
No, he does not have the hand of like the character that Christian Wiig played on Saturday Night Live.
No,
that's not what this guy's making it sound like.
No, that's not the issue. I think
John's hand size is 9.75 inches. Now, Andrew tells me that, but doesn't tell me what the average hand size is, so that really doesn't tell me anything.
But again, when you talk to anybody, right, Peter, we've had people, is fumbling a problem? No, he'll learn. So, but I think we've seen so many miscalculations with the football that I think our confidence level is, oh, it's going to slip out of his hands, oh, he's going to screw it up, or he's going to fumble the football, because that's what he's done. But I don't think there's anything physically wrong with him and why he's doing it. And he might lack confidence himself in those situations.
9.75 inches, the same as Deshaun Watson's hands. Rodney in Queens.
Hello?
Hello, Rodney. Hello? Yep.
Hey, how y'all doing? How y'all doing on this Monday? How's everybody?
Great. Good. Great. How about you?
Man, after yesterday, listen. Like I said before, I've called it before. This has to be Gettleman's last season. All right, Rojas and Baker was arrested before the season started. They're no longer on the team. Golden Tate was suspended for performance-enhancing drugs before the season even started. And this clown did this stuff yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Then Ingram can't catch a cold. Shepard's injury-prone. Saquon is out for the season, so you have no offensive threat. Daniel Jones is a turnover machine.
Okay.
I don't understand why he can't slide. Why is he always going head first? Why is he always going head first? He got to stop that because he's going to get his head tear off. There's no personal foul when you go head first. You know what I'm saying? And the defense, they give up these big chunk plays. I mean, they play pretty well, but that play to Cooper Kupp or whatever his name is, that's a blown assignment. There's too many blown assignments. Against the 49ers, they was letting them run freely. I don't understand this. I don't understand this. Gettleman has to be going out. This season, he has to be
going.
He
will be, Rodney. I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, there's rumors already about retirement. They're going to make a change. The question is, do you have faith in this ownership to promote from within? Because the Giants love giant guys. But has it gotten to the point now where the giant guys aren't good enough? Because anybody you promote from within is also a part of this mess. Was also a part of the decision process to keep feeding Eli and trying to get championships. So is this time for a reset, guys, where you start looking for people outside the organization instead of getting people from within, or it has to be somebody with ties to the organization or somebody that believes in the Giants' way? Is it time to start thinking outside the box here and find the replacement? And if you do that, do you take the risk in hiring the next general manager and him possibly not liking Joe Judge? Because that is going to limit your options if you tell the new general manager you have to keep Joe Judge. So
both of these teams do it bass-ackwards. They have to hire them both at the same time. And if you're going to let – I mean, I don't know how much of a say Gettleman had in picking Judge, but that means that he should be around with Judge for a while.
And the feeling is that you give it to Kevin Abrams, right? He's the assistant general manager. Well, he's been here. Is that the right move? Or is it get a fresh look? Get somebody that's not going to just be married to the giant way, because I'm starting to waver on the Giants way. Doesn't feel like the Giants way when you're not winning season after season after season. So what would you do, Michael? Would you open it up, and then when you find the general manager in the interview and you say you got to keep Joe Judge, and that guy walks out the door, do you let him walk, or do you say, oh, hey, come back in?
Let's talk about who you think the replacement should be.
I think it's unfair to do that to Joe Judge. I don't think it's right.
Then you're kind of hamstrung. Now you either have to promote from within, or now you have to limit your looks at the next general manager outside the organization to only people who are going to have to keep the coach. And that's going to turn a lot of GMs off. You think GMs want to come in here and be told, listen, you get allowed to do anything you want. You have carte blanche, but this has to be the head coach. And this has to be the staff, right? Because everybody else is new. So it wouldn't be fair to let Garrett and Graham go. So is that an attractive job to a new general manager knowing he can't touch the staff?
Well, that's when, I mean, when you do the interviews, you have to see if they're in lockstep with the staff. So it's got to be somebody that you think is creative and also thinks that Joe Judge is the guy. Don't hire a guy that doesn't like Joe Judge.
All right, but you do understand that's going to limit your choices, and there, you could possibly find the perfect guy, and you don't hire him. Kind of like what happened in a similar situation with Rhule with New York. Boy, that'd be a good hire for the Jets, but you know he was told he couldn't pick his staff, so he walked out the door. You don't think the Jets would be better with Matt Rhule as their head coach?
But well, they seem like they're a better team than the Giants right now.
But I'm saying that if Rhule had with the Jets, if they didn't have this, you're not allowed to pick your own staff.
Right, and he let them
walk out the door. Would they have been better off to just say, okay, we're going to let you pick your own staff? And they might have lost a better coach than they have right now in Gase. Do you want that to happen to the Giants, where the general manager walks out of the room because you forced them to keep Joe Judge?
I don't think you could get rid of Joe Judge. That would be criminal to do that to somebody.
All right.
Make him uproot his family and give him 1 year.
Well, that part's irrelevant.
No, it's not irrelevant.
Because if an organization does that to somebody, they'll do it to you too. What kind of creep are you going to get to come there then? You can't do that to somebody. That's one year and get rid of them?
But you can't keep someone because it comes off as not nice.
No, I'm not talking about not nice. It's not the right thing to do. Professionally, you're casting your organization in a terrible light. I don't know why we're talking about it. They're not going to do it. They're going to promote from within.
Right, and that might be a problem. Because when you're promoting from within, you're also promoting from within an organization that hasn't gone to the playoffs in a decade and it made a lot of mistakes. That's why I think kind of a fresh start here would be a good idea. But you're right. They won't do that to Judge because they're not that type of an organization. But Peter is also right, is that if you find the guy, what if Bill Parcells decides, you know what, I want to come back. I want to run this organization. No, we just gave Judge a contract. We don't want to fire him. Judge is still going to get paid.
Right.
I mean, I understand it's terrible to do, but business is business, right?
Well, I mean, let's see if the guy's a good coach. I mean, he has 12 more games. I think he's a good coach.
Hey, they might interview 10 general managers, and they all love Judge. I'm just saying, but you could limit. I would think one of the things a general manager would want to do, Michael, you talk about being a great general manager in baseball, right? Would you want to take over a team and be forced to keep the manager?
No.
Let's say you don't like him?
No.
You might say, I don't want to take that job. I'm going to go take some other job.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
ESPN spends so much money for the rights to Monday Night Football. You've now put a better game opposite them on another network, and you know what ESPN can do? Nothing. They can't say a word because they're trying to renew their contract. Imagine if this happened in any other walk of life where your business got double-crossed like this. You spend all that money to have total exclusivity on Monday night. And now the middle of the third quarter and the beginning of the fourth quarter is going to go up against a game on Monday Night Football that's not as good as that game. How unfair is that? Right. But the NFL is such a monolith, you can't fight it.
It's the contract, right? We kind of sold our souls to the devil to get that contract. Think about it. NFL primetime, not a lot of air. Because it would go up against the NBC pregame. Right? But we gave that up as a company because we felt it was important to have those games. That's why this next contract is going to be so big. And it needs to incorporate ABC into it so they can get the chance to to flex to better games, be in a position to get more playoff games and get a Super Bowl. But really, ESPN doesn't have much of a chance to do anything because the contract doesn't allow them to do it.
Right? Why wouldn't the NFL put this game on, the Chiefs and the Patriots, at 6? So it doesn't run into Monday Night Football. Instead, they're giving CBS a primetime game.
Because CBS, I think, has the ability. CBS, because think about this. I think a good, I don't know how much of the country would have gotten this game, but not, certainly not 100% of it. But I guess because of CBS's contract, they're able to take a game that would have been on at what, 4:25 on Sunday?
Yeah.
Or would that have been a 1 o'clock game?
What was it?
No, it was a 4 o'clock game.
No, it had to be because what they moved Bears Colts to 4:25
to replace it.
So 4:25, the entire country wouldn't have gotten. New York wouldn't have gotten it because we would be in Rams Giants, right?
Yep.
But now it gets even more coverage because at 7 o'clock the entire country is going to get it. But
amazing.
I guess because of CBS's deal, I guess CBS is deemed more important than ESPN, so CBS actually gets more out of their game. And ESPN gets less out of what they already were supposed to have.
I just think that the NFL does what it wants and dares the aggrieved party to say something. They go, okay, we'll move on. We'll give Monday Night Football to TBS. ESPN can't say a word. They're afraid.
But I think, now there's no similar circumstance. But let's just say, for sake of argument, something would delay a Sunday game where they could move it to Sunday night, right? NBC would say no.
I don't know if even NBC could say no. You can't say no to the NFL.
I know, but I think NBC would be in a better position to fight it because I think the NFL looks upon the contract with NBC more than they look at it at ESPN because NBC has Super Bowls. NBC has Sunday Night Football. Remember, it was the NFL that wouldn't let to back up your comment, the NFL was the one that said that Tirico couldn't replace Al Michaels on the Thursday game.
That's right. And you know, imagine the amount of money NBC spends, and they can't pick their own announcer.
But I do think you made a good point, though, Michael. I think the position that ESPN is in, where they're trying to get a deal incorporating ABC, probably puts them in a situation where they can't argue as much as maybe the other networks can.
They better not say a word.
I bet Fox, CBS, and NBC probably would have more of a leg to stand on and complain. But if I'm ESPN, I'm like, wait a minute, what are you doing? This is our biggest event. I think Monday Night Football is probably the most important thing they have.
Yep.
That tonight's game would have gotten better ratings than the NBA Finals. Now maybe the NBA Finals are more important because there's 7 of them, but they put
and
that
it's on
ABC.
Right.
For ESPN, I mean this is a major.
Well, and so tonight's not great, right? You have a sort of dinged up Atlanta against a sort of dinged up Green Bay, but you're at least getting a home Packers game with Aaron Rodgers. So up against nothing, that's pretty appealing. Now you're up against Belichick versus Mahomes.
Amazing.
And on top of
it's
that,
it's a brutal. Yes, you lose Cam, but still, it's the Patriots and the Chiefs.
It's Patriots and Chiefs, and then on top of it, and that's not anybody's fault, but you know, ESPN will also have to go up against you know the Yankees and the Rays.
Yep.
So now you're throwing into the mix. Now I think the Patriots are going to get killed tonight. I mean, you lose your quarterback at the last second. Kansas City's just on fire. It's a tough spot for the Patriots tonight, but it's still Belichick. They might hang into that game.
It's Belichick, yep.
You get into the fourth quarter, and that game is a good one. Now, they did move the start time for Packers-Falcons.
Yeah, but till 8:50.
Right.
So from 8:30? They gave him 20 more minutes, still going to go up against the end of the game.
And now the end of the game's later.
Crazy.
Now you're back to kicking off in the old days time, 9 o'clock.
T-Mobile call to the bullpen where listeners weigh in on all things MLB. Let's go to Paul in Trenton. Paul.
Yeah, guys, Mike, I have a hypothetical for tonight.
Okay.
Say the Yankees have a 3-0, 4-0 lead going into the top of the 6th or 7th, and Cole only's thrown 75 or 80 pitches. Would you take him out and trust the bullpen?
No.
Because
you might not play a game 5, Paul. No, there's no way you do that.
You
if they're up 12-0, then take him out after six innings with 90 pitches, yeah. save him 20 pitches, but I'm not taking him out of a 4-0 game. That's lunacy.
4-0, that's, you know, one swing of the bat. You can't possibly do that, because now you're damaging your chance to winning game one for what, the hope of a game that may not even be played?
Exactly.
You got to take care of business. Now,
you don't have a long enough bullpen right now. You can't get 15 outs out of that bullpen safely.
Now, and I'll tell you this, and if it is 12-0, then you're not going to see the studs out of the bullpen. That's when King maybe gets 9 outs.
Right, or maybe Sessa.
Yeah, so because I don't think you want to put yourself in a situation where you're using, you know, guys like Green and Britton, because now that might hurt them for game two, where you're probably definitely going to have to use them. But you have guys that can mop up in a double-digit lead, something like that. But 4 or 5 runs in this, going in with 9 outs to get? Maybe more? No, you can't do that. The bullpen, I'm sorry, Michael, the bullpen isn't that good right now that you can feel that confident to be able to protect that kind of lead that length of time.
Absolutely. Even though the guy in L.A. doesn't think I talk the truth, the bullpen is a problem. Let's go to the 98.7 T-Mobile listener line where sports fans get the spotlight, and we'll go to Bruce in Passaic. Bruce.
Hey, Michael. It is an absolute pleasure to speak to you, Donnie, and Peter Rosenberg. I unfortunately was diagnosed with COVID-19 a few weeks ago, and it's
how are you feeling?
It's, you know, every day is different, but I definitely perk up at 3 o'clock because I get to listen to this show. And I've been actually listening to Michael and reading Michael since the middle 80s. And Don, I heard your first broadcast. And Peter, you're a real talent coming over from 98 from the other station.
97, yes, thank you.
How are you feeling, Bruce?
Not great, to be honest with you. You know, it's a pneumonia, and it takes time, and it takes a lot of prayer, and I just wish that anybody listening, please be careful, please wash your hands, self-isolate if you can, and because nobody wants any part of this.
Well, feel now, better, and please keep us apprised of what's going on. We want to hear from you, and call in whenever you like. Wow.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Peter, we do have to talk about the Heat yesterday.
I'd like to.
You should. I mean, that was a game they should not have won. They're down two very important players, and they did what a desperate team should do, is they went to their best player and said, carry us, put us on your back and get us to game four with at least one win. And that's exactly what Jimmy Butler did. And he was extraordinary. He just took over the game the last 5 minutes.
I mean, I think you have to have conversations about, I know this sounds dramatic, and I've been a man of hyperbole this entire playoffs, but I think you can have a conversation about all-time finals performances. I'm not saying top three or four, but this was a historic putting your undermanned team against really one of the most highly touted opponents you could possibly have, and putting that team completely on your back. 14 for 20 from the floor, 12 for 14 from the line, 40 points, 13 assists, 11 rebounds. Literally, I think statistically, the best game of Jimmy Butler's life. To do it in game three against in the finals against the Lakers, where if you lose, the series is over, essentially, and you're down Dragic and Adebayo, and instead he just dominates from pillar to post, and they get a win that really wasn't a blowout, but it was a pretty safe, not super contested fourth quarter.
They got close in the fourth quarter.
It got to five. I never got the sense they were going to lose. Let me say that. You're right. It was competitive for sure. But you thought the Heat would win.
And by the way, Don, you are right. The Packers-Falcons game has now been moved another 10 minutes to 9 o'clock from 8:50. So it had moved from 8:30 to 8:50, and now it's 9 o'clock. And as Peter said, it'll end about 12:30.
Right. So that you're going to lose people at the end on the East Coast if it ends up being a competitive game. So, listen, it's a tough spot. Oakland's up 2-0 on the Astros.
Hey, now.
In the top of the third.
Do we know how that happened? Are you watching?
I believe it was a Davis 2-run home run. I will double check.
Wow, Chris Davis.
Yes.
Now, I love the fact that there was a little more drama added to the game yesterday, Peter, because LeBron in the first quarter tells Jimmy Butler, you're in trouble. And then when the game's completely sealed with about a minute left, he's screaming at the top of his lungs, you're in trouble. So there's a little juice there. And if they could get back Adebayo or they could get back Dragic, all of a sudden, now Miami believes we could win without two of our better players. And if they get those players back, then let's just put it this way. If the Heat win game four, then all the pressure shifting to the Lakers. Lakers have, I mean, this championship was done.
Oh, I mean, you could argue there's a lot of pressure on the Lakers in game four. Because if it gets to tie.
Yeah, you're right. Then it's best of three.
Think about what that looks like. This is a team, and again, Don, you've been complaining about this with good reason. People are so desperate to have opinions on all things LeBron James that the second the Lakers looked dominant in game one, basically everyone was calling this series.
Right.
And we've been down this road during these playoffs already multiple times, but we end up in the same spot, and now there's immense pressure in game four on the Lakers. If this thing gets to 2-2 and it's a best of three and you have Dragic and Adebayo back, totally different game. Also, what happened to Anthony Davis yesterday?
He just, after two games where he was out of this world, he just didn't play well. I mean, maybe the Heat
adjusted
their defense.
He only shot the ball nine times.
Yeah, well, they took him out of it early and got into foul trouble.
And here's something that really shocked me. Because I felt like the Lakers were going to sweep. Because we've said from the very beginning of the bubble, Peter, LeBron seems uncomfortable. I don't think he can wait to get out of there. And now you've got a game five. Game five's Friday. So they've been playing every other day. So game four is going to be tomorrow. And then game five is not until Friday. So I would think that'd be motivation right there. Let's sweep. I don't want to wait another couple of extra days.
You know what, Don?
I'm sure they're dying to get the heck out of there.
That might be a really good point. I don't know if you guys noticed this. Obviously, every finals loss is upsetting, and people like LeBron James are playing on a different level, and they take things super seriously. But did you see how angry and despondent James was after the game?
Also, he left the court before the game was over, which is an awful look.
So, like, Don, maybe that's what you're talking about, though. Maybe the reason LeBron walked off before the game even ended and was absolutely sickened was like, I can't believe I'm staying here till at least Friday. I was so ready to go home.
I don't think it's a joke. It's so like I'm sure there's some guys that don't care. You know, I've been here this long, but don't you feel like LeBron? I think he's really struggling with this. And I felt this when the Lightning won the Stanley Cup. I think half the celebrations they won the cup, the other half of the celebrations we get to go home. You know, because it's been so long. And even though families are allowed in, still it's. God, just imagine being away from home for 2.5 months. That's a long time. I get it, all the military, and these guys are getting paid a lot of money, but they're still human beings, and they're still stuck in one place for a long period of time. I'm sure they can't wait to get home and get back to some set of normalcy, and now that's going to be extended till at least Friday.
Let's take the T-Mobile call to the bullpen where listeners weigh in on all things MLB, and we'll go to Rob. He's in Boston. What's up, Rob?
Bob. Hey, guys. I've been listening a long time since I had ES up in Boston, and I listen to your show every day. And that guy was talking about Tanaka. Tanaka won two games, I think, in the playoffs the last couple of years, 1-0 and 2-0. I think he beat Cleveland and I forget, maybe Houston.
He's a great big-game pitcher.
Yes. And the other thing is about Garrett Cole tonight, mm-hmm. He cannot let Choi, the Korean first baseman, beat him. I think he has three or four home runs off him.
Yes,
I would
does.
Walk him... If he gets up, he gets out the guys behind him, I would walk him like the Yankees should have done years ago, walking Big Poppy instead of face him all the time. Once Choi or Big Poppy, if they were on base, they clog up the bases. They can't run. You might even have to get them out of the game for a pitch runner.
I agree with you to a sense of pitching and carefully, but if you just walk him, I mean, they have a really long lineup. Those guys are pesky and they do damage. I'm not just going to walk him. I'm going to make sure I don't give him a pitch that he can hit out. Because he has great confidence against that team. Let's go to the 98.7 T-Mobile listener line where sports fans get the spotlight, and we'll go to Justin in Orlando. Justin.
Hey, guys. So I was looking at the roster, and I don't think you can start Gary Sanchez and Higashioka tonight. because they're the only two catchers on the roster.
That's all right. You can just lose the DH. I mean, they've got enough. I understand what you're saying, Justin, but you can't let that stop you. If you want to start Gary Sanchez because he has great numbers against Snell, you DH him. And if God forbid Higashioka gets hurt, Gary Sanchez moves behind the plate and you lose the DH. It can be done. It's been done before. Did you guys hear the great line by Chris Collinsworth yesterday? I mean, it was a money line. So they were talking about the Patriots and the Chiefs being moved to Monday on CBS.
Oh, yeah.
And the announcers are Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. And Collinsworth said, look at that. I guess Tony Romo did take the Monday Night Football gig.
That's funny. Sure bothers him that he's – because what's Collinsworth getting paid?
He's not getting paid $18
million. No.
Also, I will tell you this. Don't want to get political at all. Not at all. Please, not at all.
No.
The two of them complaining about wearing masks, not a good look. Stop it. You're in a municipality where if you're in a public place, you have to wear a mask. That's the rule. Forget about freedom. That's the rule. Just like you have to wear seatbelts. I don't like to wear seatbelts. I wear them. You know why? Because it's the law. And all they did was complain that they had to announce with a mask on. Not a good look.
Well, I guess
there's a lot of people that are suffering right now that got this disease and didn't wear a mask. And you're talking about you're complaining that you have to sit in a booth where you make all this money and you have to wear a mask. Oh, listen, boo-hoo.
And you know what? It that's part of it. But the other part of it is being completely tone deaf because you completely understand how political the mask has become.
Right.
So when you complain about it, what do you think people are going to think?
Yeah, well, that's right? But maybe that answers the question.
All right, that's fine. But again, why? I'm sure both Chris and Al have a political leaning. Everybody does. But is that the place for it?
No.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Little news from the Yankees. Davey Garcia is going to start game two. Davey Garcia is starting game two, wow, which is a gutsy decision by the Yankees and one that I don't hate. I don't hate that because then you have Tanaka, which could be either take control of the series game. Now, they haven't said he's starting game three, I assume, or save the series game or sweep the series game. I don't mind him having the higher leverage game. Game two is important. I think game three is gigantic.
Well, you think. You don't know.
Because, right, you don't know.
Because if Cole were to lose tonight, or if the Yankees were to lose tonight, then you're going to have Garcia going in game two, and if he can't handle it, and now Tanaka's trying to save the season, but either even if he saves the season, you're still facing elimination two more times after that.
Right.
You know, so it really, I guess you'll know how you feel about Garcia starting based on what's going to happen tonight. I think you're more than comfortable with him if the Yankees win tonight. And worst case scenario, all right, you split and it doesn't matter. You're not really on the road or home. It's a neutral site. So now it's a best of three series with Tanaka going in game two. You're going to feel pretty in game three, which would be game one of a best of three in that situation. But you lose. Because I know they came back from 2-0 down against Cleveland back in 2017, Michael. But that's you don't want to have to face elimination three straight times.
No, it's a bear. Now, Rays haven't seen Garcia in a game, as far as I know. So that plays for him as well. The kid doesn't seem like he scares. That plays for him as well. We'll see. It's a gutsy call. I'm not going to say it's bad, but it's gutsy. The Yankees could have gone. I think if you start Tanaka there, you don't get second guess. You start Davey Garcia, and he gets his backside handed to him, you're going to get second guess. But I don't mind the decision at all, and I don't mind the lineup today. Clint Frazier deserves to play. Brett Gardner has terrible numbers against left-handers, and I think Stanton hit well enough that you can ignore the Gary Sanchez success against Snell. So I don't mind the lineup at all. I don't. Let's go to the T-Mobile call to the bullpen where listeners weigh in on all things MLB, and we'll go to Anthony and Nutley. Anthony.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for taking me on the show today.
You got
Alan
it.
Peter. Appreciate your time. So I listen to you guys very often coming my way back home from college, and I really am inspired by you guys each and every day. I want to do something in the sports management community Thank you. I appreciate that. So right now, as a Yankee fan, seeing the decisions Aaron Boone made, I was very happy with Higgy Ashoka behind the plate. I think making Gerrit Cole feel comfortable tonight and pitching dominant, which he has been doing with Higgy, is the main priority as far as, you know, a home run from Gary Sanchez. I think we need to, key on that.
I would agree with you, Anthony. We thought that maybe Sanchez could DH instead of Stanton. It does show you when they say there's no such thing as personal catchers, this is obviously a personal catcher.
Yes.
Because you'd start Gary Sanchez with his numbers if you felt comfortable with him and Cole, but you want Cole and Higashioka, who grew up together, by the way, in L.A., to be together because they've been unstoppable. Well, Cole's been unstoppable since he's been behind the plate. That's the most important thing.
To me, the only debate on getting Sanchez in the lineup was having DH over Stanton. There was no way you were going to have Sanchez catch tonight.
Right. I just got the greatest comeback from Jeff Passan I've ever seen.
Really?
I said, Young is aware you're coming after him, and he said on air he's ready for the challenge. And then Jeff writes back, oh, he actually showed up? That's nice to hear.
Wow.
And then I wrote, he knows you're alive, and that's wonderful. And you know what he said?
Hmm.
Well, it's going to be funny to see Steve Young get Steve Younged.
Oh.
See?
Tactic.
Wow. You're a witness, counselor.
Oh, he might give better text than Steve, but he's not a better guess.
But just the knowledge, I mean, what is Jeff, like 36?
40.
He's 40. I think he's just turned,
just turned 40. He's like, what did he do? He's climbed Kilimanjaro or something for his 40th birthday.
Look at me. I can still breathe sort of thing.
Very good stuff, though.
Hot stuff. Let's go back to the T-Mobile Cult of the Bullpen, where listeners weigh in on all things MLB. Brian in Long Island. Brian.
Hey, Brian. Michael?
Yes, how are you?
Hey, guys, doing well, Michael. Thanks for having me on. Long-time caller, our listener, second-time caller.
Welcome
Don,
aboard
Peter,
again.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, just wanted to give my two cents on the importance of Game 1. Obviously, with Gerrit Cole on the mound, I think the Yankees have the best of chance against any team, whether that be the Rays or the Dodgers. I think that, if it's the Dodgers, it's pretty much a 50-50 shoot, with the offense. But with Gerrit Cole on the mound today, they certainly have to take Game 1. So it's really, in my mind, it's really an all or nothing for this game, because obviously the shaky, rest of the starting pitchers with Tanaka and Davey Garcia. But I actually like Davey Garcia pitching Game 2. Obviously, he's shown a lot of confidence. But again, I wanted to harp in on the importance of Game 1.
It is important. Yeah. It's probably made more important because you're starting a 21-year-old in Game 2. But, Jarv from Oz, our Australian correspondent, just pointed out, he said, well, Game 2 can never be an elimination game. Tanaka is pitching what could be an elimination game. So who do you want in an elimination game, a 21-year-old or Tanaka? So I understand moving Tanaka to Game 3 because it's either a swing game or an elimination game, or a game that has absolutely no pressure at all if you're up 2-0. I don't mind it. Garcia can pitch. He had one bad outing, and that was against Boston. One bad outing. Every other outing, he was more than representative. 4-3 A's over the Astros in the bottom of the fifth inning.
Yeah.
And between those two teams have been 5 home runs. And I'll tell you one. I've seen all 30 teams. Some of them tried the cardboard cutouts. None of them look great. This is the best ones I've seen. I don't know why it's not in every single seat.
What's different?
It's just, it looks like people. I don't know how they did it. It looks like the ballpark is full when you get the right shot, but then there's some spots behind the dugout where they left just empty seats. I don't understand. There must be a reason, but the spots where they have the cardboard cutouts look tremendous.
Why didn't the Yankees do it, Michael?
Don't know. I never got a chance to ask anybody. I don't know.
I know they kind of look silly, but everybody did it in some way, shape, or form. And some of them got pretty creative.
Yeah, and you could have had great Yankees in cutouts. You could have.
See, that's what I liked. Like, the Tigers, they had, like, Red Wings and Pistons. And, like, it was really, like, kind of a cool, like, you're looking to see who's back there. And the Giants did, like, all former Giants. And
maybe the,
like,
Yankees decided to put all the best, the Knicks teams from the last 20 years. So that's why they didn't have anybody.
Wow, really? Just a random broadside.
You would have had think? Carmelo there.
Yeah, that's also a great point.
I said from good Nick teams.
Ewing still played 20 years ago. See, that's take that back.
I take it back. I'm sorry.
Good job, Don. Way to hold him accountable.
I mean, it's wrong. When
that's
I'm wrong,
all we're
I'm
asking
wrong.
For. A little accountability.
You got it. Well, let's go to the 98.7 T-Mobile listener line where sports fans get the spotlight. Let's go to Fabian in New Jersey. Fabian.
Hey, what's going on, Michael, Don, Peter? Big fan.
Thanks.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm a big, big Jets fan, and after listening to that Donald interview, I mean, it's just disappointing, and I really have to agree with Peter that Gase has to go, and honestly, prior to listening to that, I really didn't think it would achieve anything, but, I mean, I'm so frustrated. It's just so clear that Gase's interest doesn't align with the best interest of the team. I mean, he did the same thing with Becton. It's just so frustrating. He has to go.
And Steve Young admitted it. I mean, he thought about it, and he said it's going to help the Texans might have an early run now at Bieniemy because they fired their coach 4 weeks in. Like, if Bieniemy is somebody that they want, Michael, could the Jets be now behind the eight ball because Houston's got an upper hand on them now for moving on? I don't know.
I just think it's really dangerous when you have a guy who thinks he's coaching for his career, or it could be his career. Is he going to get a third coaching shot? I think he's going to put the health of the players secondary to winning the game. There's no way that Becton should have been in that game. And there's no way that Darnold should have been allowed back in. Now, if nothing happened, then the doctors obviously gave the right information, but you can't tell a player you feel like going back in. Even Becton said, I'll go in. No, you can't. It's on you. You have to protect your organization.
The only way that it's okay to put him back in the second half of that game, Michael, is if he's ready to go on Sunday.
Right.
If he's not ready to go on Sunday, then what happened? I asked him, did you re-injure the shoulder? He said no.
And it hurt. It hurt a little bit during the second half.
If I had to guess, and maybe this is wrong to say, it sounded to me like he got shot. He got a cortisone shot, felt fine. Then the cortisone wears off. He's back to pain again. You can't keep giving cortisone shots, and I think that's what happened. If I had to guess. Now, I'm not going to ask Sam because he's not going to answer the question, but doesn't it sound, Peter, to me like he must have they shot him up, which is fine, but that could cause problems because now the pain went, the shot wears off, the pain comes back. And I don't buy the whole he couldn't hurt it anymore.
The fact that he was throwing in pain is reason enough not to play him.
I mean, and how meaningful was that game?
I guess for Gase, it was hugely meaningful.
For Gase, it was meaningful. For headlines, it was meaningful. What does it mean for this team, though, really?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.